that you're going to get a lot of respect from the Progressive Radio Network with all the information and all the education and all the documents Gary Nolan and his staff provide you. You look at the documentaries they have, you're going to get solid information to help you protect your health and your safety. Well, it'd be great if we'd get that same respect from the Department of Defense, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines, the Coast Guard. It'd be great if we got the same respect from our leaders in the military. But unfortunately, that ain't going to happen. And no matter what we do and try to get and ask for it, it doesn't seem to happen. You know, I guess we need to get going. Denise, we've been at this for 25 years, and we've been at it for a lot longer than that with all the Vietnam casualties that are still triggering a nightmare. I mean, Ray, you and I go back, all of us go way back. Yeah. What do we need to do? What can we do to change this nightmare?
I don't know, but keep at doing what we're doing is you're knocking on their doors. And, you know, we talked earlier before. I know it's probably a different kind of thing, but, you know, you look at a volcano, there's a lot of things going on under the surface, and it's a lot of pressure being made. And if that pressure continues to rise, it's going to come out. And I think doing what you're doing, Doug, and you know, the others that work with you quite a bit with this, and to the internal parts of this thing, they're finding a lot of pressure coming from a lot of places, and it's going to bubble out one day. And if you just be faithful in what you're doing and believe in what you're doing and don't be distracted, it will come about if you keep hitting on it hard enough.
You know, Army Times, Patricia Kimmick, God bless her, she just came out with a major story a couple of weeks ago, and this was put out at 3:41 on November 1st. Deployment environmental reports not in military health records. I mean, this is going on and on and on. Denise, when you were on the front line, you're seeing everybody get sick. You try to get the medical records, but the records disappeared, didn't they?
Yeah. A lot of people have missing medical records, much less the shot records.
Are you there, Denise?
Yes, I am. Did you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. You got to speak up a little. We didn't lost it.
I basically said yes. People have been missing service records, medical records, and that's one of the problems. Doug, before we get too far, let me just bring up the newest thing since I've
Absolutely.
Been online. Dr. Klimas with Nova Southeastern University, and you can get that at website by going to Nova, NOVA.edu, looking at our clinical studies for gene studies, and she's got it up for, you know, chronic fatigue, but she is wanting Gulf War vets to participate. And so if you go to her Nova Scotia University and click on the research, you will get it, and I'll send this to you, Doug, so that you can include it in the information for the program today. But basically, she's created a video message to everybody and asking people to become involved. And this will take, oh, my God, tens of thousands of people participating. If you go and Google 23andMe, there is a study you can order yourself to get a look at your genes. It's not just for, you know, where you're from, but the gene breakdown. And you order that, pay for it yourself. When you get the results, there's interpretation sites available to help guide you through reading what your results are. And then she's asking people to contribute their information, okay? So we pay for the study ourselves. It runs about $100. We get it done. You know, they send you a kit. You get it done, send it back to that company. And that's 23andMe. And then share that information with Dr. Klimas. What they're looking for is where our genes have been disturbed and may give a clue, better clue to what we need to do as far as treatment. So I want to repeat that website. Go to nova.edu and look for Dr. Klimas' study, and I will send you a link to include it in today's description of our discussion today. And the other thing is we have two other things I wanted to mention. We have a program going at our first consortium. I think I've mentioned it before. And that's out of Boston with Dr. Kimberly Sullivan. The consortium is made up of Boston, Miami, Dr. Klimas, and Dr. Leah Still in Texas in about a year. But the phone number called to get in on that study is 617-638-5834. And I'll repeat that, 617-638-5834. And this is our first consortium that was funded. And what you do is, I went up to Boston when I was up in D.C. the day after the RAG meeting, and I flew in, got it all done, and back to the airport by 2:30 or 3 o'clock and caught my plane. So this is an important study. It is a consortium of our heavy hitters all together. The other thing is a Georgetown study will be probably starting the first of the year, but we've recruited our Gulf War vets that are ill that wants to participate. And what we're looking for now for that study is any healthy individuals in our age range, Gulf War veterans from the first Gulf, and preferably, you know, if they're military and healthy and didn't go over, to be involved in that. I will include that info to you so that you can put that on the program also. But anybody that knows healthy vets, we need to get in touch with them. We need about 13 of them to help us with this study. Let's see, I had another one to mention that I'm looking for the females. There is a, let me go back to Georgetown phone number to get involved with Georgetown, Dr. Bronick, is 202-687-8231. That's 202-687-8231. For the females, Miami VA is looking for the females, and they're going to do a complete immune workup on the females, and they provide transportation on this study, so you're not out of anything, female Gulf War vets. The phone number for that study is 305-575-7000, extension 6706. This is for female Gulf War veterans. 305-575-7000, extension 6706. So those currently are the projects I'm working on to try to get us more answers. There'll be more studies coming out, I'm sure, but just wanted to give an update that we really worked to get a waiting list ready for Dr. Bronick's study. Seems like we've got enough on the waiting list, but you can always, if you're a sick Gulf War vet, tell them you want to be on the further waiting list in case anybody doesn't come through. We needed about 50. And so I've worked hard to get that list all organized so that when they get started, they can just start bringing in vets left and right. And like I said, our big urgency is the healthy vet for a comparison group. So we need 13. And I know those are hard to find, and I'm questioning if we can find just normal healthy people in our age group, but right now we're looking for veterans from the Gulf War that have not been affected.
You know, there's so many going on, but all the stuff you're talking about, we're looking for the biomarkers that confirms all the adverse health effects from all these complex toxic exposures that happened, absolutely did occur. I mean, we know from depleted uranium as confirmed in the Wakayama briefing, the RNA and DNA changes, we know that. We know the semen was contaminated and the guys from the 144th and Friendly Fire, and so obviously we know we got genetic code changes, which goes to all these incredible levels of birth defects. I mean, Denise, you're totally involved. You've got the website for Gulf War illness and everybody else, and what are you seeing or what are you hearing from everybody? I mean, they're sick all over, right?
I'm getting very upset because as of over the Thanksgiving holiday time period, we had more being checked with their brain, more tumors showing up, more abnormalities. And I'm so terribly frustrated. You know, it's very depressing that our government has done this and hasn't been proactive. I think we need an all-out campaign of writing to the White House, the First Lady, to Vice President Biden, whose son served over there, died of a brain cancer, and Jill Biden. They need to hear what's going on. We need to get the media back involved fully. We talked about that previously before we started the program, but we have got to get the heavy-duty media out there again. We're 25 years into it for Gulf War. They're doing the same thing they did to Agent Orange and Atomic Vets, and this has got to stop. It's a betrayal of the trust that we had when we agreed to serve our military. It is a complete betrayal. It's medical malpractice when they keep pushing you towards psych and not do all the evaluation work they need to do. It's, you know, I just feel like this nightmare continues and gets worse as we go along. And we have rashes that they have not biopsied or determined the cause of, much less how to treat it.
Denise, this is Ray. I hope you're doing well, and I appreciate everything you're doing, Denise, and Doug both. And I know it's valuable, and I know you're working hard at it, but I think all of us feel the same kind of just worn out from this thing sometimes. And, you know, I was thinking about when you were talking about that, and I'd really avoid going to the post office, and I'll tell you why. Is that when I go in that post office, it's not like a regular business. It's really, those people are going to be making money. They work for the government, really, and things. And I don't care if it's 200 people standing in line waiting to get their stamps or their packages or whatever they're doing. Nobody seems to rush. It's like, you know, they just, I don't know if they even, people sometimes will be trained how to not get upset, not to rush, because it's just going to be somebody else standing there. And it's almost like deliberate that people slow down. And some people, including me, there have been times I just walked out. I said, I'll come back or I'll go online. And I think of the government sometimes just almost deliberately. I don't know if it's deliberate or not, but the lines are so long now. You know, I heard them talking about Black Friday, and they were saying all the big deals. But most people don't go shopping because of the long lines and the frustration of standing there waiting for somebody to help. And you're feeling like nobody's going to show up. Nobody cares. Nobody's rushing. Nobody is working hard to... I know they're working hard, but that's the feeling you get sometimes. And I think that the government is this big, massive machine that moves very slow. And there's so many veterans coming out now, and they have valid complaints. But it's like they don't have a complaint department. They could care less what you think. And so... it is very frustrating, and the only thing you can do is stand in line, wait your turn. But we do know the squeaky wheel does get the oil, by the old saying, and you have to make waves, and you have to keep knocking on their door, and you have to. I mean, these are valid complaints. How do you tell a guy that's got ulcers all over him? He went to the Gulf War, and he comes back, and his chemistry is all messed up, his life is messed up. And you tell him, get in line and just wait your turn. That's pretty hard to do. You could even die waiting in line, and some people have done that. So I don't know how we speed this machine up. Yeah, you know, they say we're running out of money. Well, I can understand that.
It's not a money issue, and I think it's a conscious decision. I mean, I'm going to just a direct quote from Patricia's opening line. This is a direct quote. A U.S. soldier walks through smoke and dust after a bomb technician destroyed a parent Al-Qaeda hideout inside a cave in 2008. There's a photograph. And then it goes on. For more than 3 years, the military service have been allowed to ignore a Department of Defense order requiring the inclusion of environmental assessments of Kongman environments in the troops' medical records. I mean, just total disregard, and they've been allowed to do it. I mean, Thanksgiving for me has been an absolute nightmare. First off, Chris Thomas, who was friendly fire, casually shot in another Abrams tank by another Abrams tank with DU, whose medical care Denise and I, you and I worked on getting him up to Warren G. Clinic. Find out he's extremely sick. He's been dumped and abandoned. And then I find out another buddy of mine going way back. I mean, he's definitely got cancer. They're trying to argue, you know, where they're going to do the surgery. And when they go for help, all they do is dump on him and just ignore him, and the families are in an absolute turmoil. And in one case, I've got where the spouse is absolutely sick. I mean, definitely got cross-contaminated, contaminated base, where contaminated equipment came back. And this was at the same base with Mike Donnelly. I mean, Denise, you and I both loved Mike, and he died from the contamination, and everybody's affected. And it never ends. And then we look at all over, right here at Chanute Air Force Base, I mean, totally confirmed perfluorinated compounds all over, trichloroethylene, all kinds of biohydrocarbons all over, even in the child's playground was confirmed last week in the Chanute Restoration Advisory Board meeting. Confirmed in the aquifer, confirmed going out in the creeks. And yet they deny any correlation between the exposures and the health effects. And then all of us that are affected, no matter where we were from Vietnam all the way through, it just goes on. I talked to my colonel from Desert Storm, again, Vietnam vet. Again, we all go way, way back. And he was in the area where the vegetation, everything was totally trashed with Agent Orange. And his assumption was, well, I couldn't have got sick from that stuff because they didn't spray it directly on me. Well, we know, and what we picked up with all this stuff, when it's resuspended and regenerated, and if you cut it, pick it up by wicking, you're going to get exposed and get sick. I'm just so tired and tired after day of people sick.
I know it.
Petition went on. The Pentagon 2006 published instruction requiring services to add occupational and environmental risk assessments generated for locations during a certain period and the medical records of troops who served in the affected place and time. Now, we all know where this generated from, Denise. I mean, you and I and the rest of us, and I mean, a bunch, we're all over Kilpatrick and Rotsker to get this stuff done. But then once they got the stuff in place and directives, like everything with depleted uranium, they ignore it.
Yeah. Well, yesterday I was at Camp Lejeune, and I spoke to couple different groups of Marines and sailors and such, and they were coming back from Afghanistan. Some of them had never been, but they're still having a lot of emotional issues from life itself and everything. Now, I know, Doug, this is an entirely different group. These are new guys. These are the guys that are there now, but they're coming back with a lot of mess on. And being I'm talking to them, I try to really help them to understand a few things. One thing, the only difference between you and the people you admire, the choice that you make. Another thing is you cannot allow your past to determine your future. You'll never get over your past. But these are young guys with a future. I mean, they've got time, where a lot of us don't have the luxury of that anymore. We've already spent our time, but our bodies are failing us now because of what happened to us. But what I'm telling them is you're going to have to take care of yourself. You're going to have to move forward on your own. If you wait for the VA, they're going to give you a number, put you in a line, give you a handful of medications, and you're going to sit there and be quiet for a while until they get time to do something with you. And I think a lot of them are trying in the VA to help us. But when you got the head messed up, the whole body is messed up. And the VA's head is really messed up, and our government's head is messed up. And it's causing the entire body of therapy, of doctors, of everything else in the VA to fail. They're just being overwhelmed. But, you know, you can tell these young guys to go out on your own, do your own thing, push yourself, motivate yourself, educate yourself, a lot of different things. But a lot of our veterans from, like, Gulf War, Vietnam, and all the ones in between, you know, they don't have that luxury. We're looking for help now because we run out of options. And now it seems as though the options are just... But they'll get to you eventually, sure. But I don't think I have a whole lot of days left, maybe. So it becomes very frustrating to us. But I'm not sure how you're going to do this other than self-motivation and waiting your turn. I don't know, Doug. I don't know.
The bad thing about it, Denise, you've seen this from day one. I mean, we got the new kids coming back like the other ones. We have incredible problems with short-term memories and long-term memories.
Sure.
We have incredible problems with respiratory and neuromuscular problems that are affecting everybody. I mean, we've seen this. We saw it beginning in Desert Storm as continuing. I mean, these kids that you're talking about, Ray, are coming back and they're getting out. They're young. But when you go to school and you have absolutely short memory problems, you can't, I mean, it's not that you don't have the ability to learn.
That's
your
right.
brain can't process the information. And so when you go to, and I know firsthand from this.
You're right.
When I go to take a test, the information's not there.
Right, right.
And so now you've got a total nightmare coming on down. And I'm looking right now, and both of you guys got copies. This is a Department of Veteran Affairs document, some things you need to know about veterans, a clinician's guide to veteran-specific issues. This was published years ago and had been hidden from everybody, and it came from Division 11, which is Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, part of Illinois. And they go in here very specifically, all the things that we're running into. I mean, the PTSD is a nightmare.
Right.
And I know myself and all of us, I mean, the memories come back, and like when all of a sudden I'm finding my guys whose medical care I ordered didn't get their medical care and they're dying or they're collapsing on down, that affects everything. But you got this PTSD, and we've gone over and over and over in this, and they list all the same stuff that you're having here. But one of the big things, and it's hitting me home right now, is I have to totally avoid any situation that's going to trigger a response.
Exactly. That's right.
I mean, this is choosing where you're going to go and doing everything. I mean, they go in here in the document, the substance abuse. I mean, Ray, you and Johnny have been out there going like mad at Camp Lejeune trying to prevent these things. I mean, you know, substance abuse is absolutely a mind-boggling problem, and this is all of them. I mean, they're using street drugs, they're using alcohol. We hear over and over again where they're abusing their prescription medications.
They were even allowed them to drink in their rooms. So,
pardon me?
I said they allow them to drink in their rooms, too, so at night. And when you allow military to do that type of thing, and you know they're using medication too, and they'll sell it and they'll use it, and you're really asking for the problem. I've talked to a sergeant major in one of my therapy classes, and this guy told me he'd been to Iraq twice or Afghanistan. I'm not sure which one, but he said, and he was combat. He was a grunt, and he said, I've never lost a man in my platoon until I came back, and I lost four to suicide so far. That's just unheard of, Doug. It shouldn't be there.
I mean, the other thing, too, and we know we've heard over and we've got the documentation, they were issuing amphetamines, and then they were issuing psychotropic drugs to troops in combat.
Right.
They're issuing them sleep medications to get them to sleep in order to get them to function. And then they're issuing them pain medications, and so these troops, I mean, I've heard it over and over, Ray. I mean, you probably ran into it live at Camp Lejeune. The troops are exchanging the meds themselves between each other, aren't they?
They do. They sell it to each other. One guy doesn't want it, so he sells it to another. But they put them on Seroquel when they send them into combat for sleep. But it's also a psychotropic drug that changes the entire thought process. And so, but you know, when you learn about it, when you really get into the drug deals and all, and CCHR brought a lot of this stuff out at Citizen Commission on Human Rights International. And they were talking about every army uses drugs on their military to give them more pumped up, keep them more focused, keep them awake longer. I never knew that, Doug, but they do. It's really a worldwide problem, really, what we're looking at.
It's an absolute nightmare. And then we go on here, and I mean, traumatic brain injury. I mean, you don't have to be knocked out for a traumatic brain injury. You don't have to be blown up for a traumatic brain injury. I mean, a concussion will do it, getting bounced around in an aircraft. We know when this stuff, when I was flying, all of a sudden you're flying in a combat evasive maneuver, your head is bounced all over hell. I mean, the idea that you got a little helmet on top of your head is going to protect anything is so ludicrous because, I mean, Denise, you can explain probably better than all of us, but the coup conquer coup injury, the brain is moving within the skull.
Right.
And just because you got a helmet on doesn't mean it's not going to get injured, right?
Right. Exactly.
People think that somehow the brain's going to be protected by putting a helmet on, but it's not. It's actually can be almost worse, can it?
Well, I ride motorcycles. I've never flown like that with helmets on, but I ride motorcycles, and I know you can hit so hard that it will do things to your brain because that it's kind of floating in liquid or whatever, and when you hit your head hard enough, and, you know, I don't know about traumatic brain injury, but I've had three grenades to blow up within a yard or two of me. I had a rocket land about 30 I guess 30 feet from me, 30 yard, maybe 30 yards. And I had a mortar round land about 2 feet from me. I was in a fighting hole. But yeah, it rattles your brain, and you have to shake it off, and you get back to what you're doing. But you don't know the permanent repercussions of that. There's got to be consequences when you're bouncing your brain around like that.
And, well, that happened to me the first time that B-52 blew up on the end of the run. It took off at the end of the runway at Paddy's Point, and I got knocked down on the ground when that whole thing blew up. I mean, a full combat load, over 70,000 pounds of explosive and full fuel and everything else. I mean, hello. I mean, when we look at the TBI problems here, I mean, it's just you get the, concussions, kukakakush. Here we talked about aneurysms, diffuse accidental injuries, secondary penetrating wounds, all this stuff, tertiary injuries. It goes on and on and on. So what we're going to see is dizziness, nausea, insomnia, behavioral concentration problems, instability, depression, anxiety. You got all your vision problems. You got ringing in the ears. You got the bad taste in the mouth. You got fatigue. And you got mood changes. And then when we get to the worst stuff, again, we go again looking to the same silly sleep and dilation, pupils, slurred speech, weakness, numbness in your arms and legs, loss of coordination, increased confusion, restlessness, confusion. I mean,
yeah. it's just
all these things are adding up. And then we get into the golf horse syndrome itself, and this is on page 9. These are the symptoms from golf horse, signs and symptoms, quote, from golf war illness, as per the Department of Veteran Affairs. Fatigue, skin rash, headache, muscle and joint pain, memory loss, shortness of breath, sleep disturbances, diarrhea, and other GI symptoms. Problems involving the skin integrity, tissue, and chest pain. End quote. These things are all combining on each other.
Well, Doug, when you put it on top of that, you also have a marital situation where the other parts of the family doesn't understand what you've been through or what's happened to you. So now all they know is they've got a participant in this family that is not producing and they're not carrying their own weight. And, you know, they may believe it or they may not believe it. But what it does, it breaks down the family cohesion and it breaks down the family itself. And that's why divorce rate is so high in the military. It's because people do not want to live with somebody who is debilitated, really. You have to really volunteer to live with somebody like that. But a lot of these families, in the world today that we are, where everybody works outside the home usually, or they're spending so much money on food and extras. They were talking about the other day how soft Black Friday was. It's because the prices are so high most of the time. Not gas right now, but everybody's spending their money, and if you don't have somebody in that family that is not pulling their own load, which a lot of times it turns out to be a veteran who's dealing with a lot of issues, they just don't want to be part of that. And so it's part of the equation. I think it's part of suicide, really, where you have a breakdown in the family. The guy's not getting the treatment he should have gotten. He's not getting the help and the psychological help and the therapeutic help and all these other physical problems. And what do? You can't afford to go to doctors. You go to the VA, but they don't seem to really be. I had an appointment with a dentist, and he was going to do some work because I had a fall what I did, and I chipped a tooth, and I did different things. It took a year to get that thing done. My wife said, what in the world are they doing? Why does it take so long? They do something. You got to wait 3 months and go back, and they do something else. And you got to. And it's just a very slow-moving thing, and most of us don't have time to be hanging around slow moving things, Doug, and it's causing a lot of problems, and people are constantly committing suicide in the military because they're not getting the attention that they should have gotten.
Well, the holidays are even intensified this. I mean, all of us have been away on Christmas, and I mean, personally, I was in a B-52 bombing mission on Christmas Day.
Yeah, delivered
it,
packages.
It didn't happen, but we sure were there.
Right.
You know, and so we're seeing all of this stuff, and over the holidays, it turns into a nightmare. You're away from home, you're sick, you're ill, you're at home. We got the divorce rate is sky. We got child and spouse abuse. We got guys that are sick that can't get their medical care, and yet they deny any correlation. I mean, for depleted uranium, and I've been over and over this because I was one that's tasked to clean up the mess originally. And the signs and symptoms listed on page 12 of the Physician's Guidance for Department of Veteran Affairs for DUR. Sleep problems, mood swings, symptoms in upper and lower respiratory system, neuropsychological symptoms including memory loss, chronic fatigue and immune dysfunction syndrome, skin rashes, unusual hair loss, aching joints, headaches, abdominal pain, sensitivity to light, blurred vision, menstrual disorders, gastrointestinal symptoms, recurrent diarrhea and constipation, neurological system disorders such as numbness in a limb, multiple chemical sensitivity, and birth defects. I mean, when I heard the other day that my guys were sick, whose medical care we ordered, that I ordered, that Shinseki ordered, that they didn't get, and they're having all of these problems, and then they're combining with all this stuff, it just turning into a friggin' nightmare. I don't see any way out of it.
And, Doug, what you just said was, when you were naming all those different things, I was thinking about myself. And let me just get those something into the mix, because someone who hasn't been to the VA could have all of those symptoms. But I had those symptoms when I was on heavy medications. I had a lot of those symptoms you just talked about. And I can't remember if I ever had them before, but muscle pain, all these different things you named. And CCHR talk much about these psychotropic drugs that they put us on. You know, when you walk in the VA and you tell them, well, I'm having depression, they put you on Zoloft. And then if you get too squirrely, they'll go put you on lorazepam or something like this. And what it does, it begins to, I know it's helping you, but I declare, you know, they had me on 8 hydrocodone a day on top of everything else. And I know we're made of chemicals, but we're not supposed to be that made of chemicals. Because it began to alter everything, and you began to have physical, emotional, psychological problems that you didn't have before. So, you know, when I look at those symptoms, I'm thinking, where is the guy at? Where was he at? Was this when he first came? Was this during the time he was with the VA? And, you know, you have to look at that, too. A lot of our problems today with family disruptions and suicide and problems after problems, a lot of that comes from being over-medicated and being over, you know, if you give a guy enough drugs, you can put him over the side, and in a little while you go over and you say, how you feel? He's like, pretty good. Do you feel any pain? No. Oh, well, I'll scratch you off the list. How about you? And they go to another person. And what they're doing is putting us over to the side. I love the VA. The VA has been very good to me. But I don't trust the VA. I don't trust everybody I go to. And I really got off of almost all those medications, and I really feel better today than I did when I was on them. So that's one thing you have to look at, too, is, yeah, they're putting you in line, and they're putting you off to the side, but what are they doing to you while you're sitting over there? And you have to really be proactive for your own health and say, wait, let's look at what you're doing. Let's look at Denise knows all about these medications and what they're doing to people. They are actually, we are drug-induced, and we're sitting over there, and every once in a while we'll come to and we'll say, stop this insanity, and they'll say, oh, you need some kind of anger management, so they give you something else. And I'm really fed up with that kind of mess. I'm telling you, we've been abused. And
I'm saying my biggest concern, my very big concern, is that our vets are not getting the diagnostic studies that are needed.
Right.
We have too many brain cancers that have come up. You know, and like I said, I've got 2 or 3 just in the last week dealing with lesions on the brain or tumors of the brain.
Whoa.
I mean, these are vets that were young when they went to the Gulf War. Younger than Doug and I. And my horror is that some of them have been pushed to PTSD, medicated, don't have anybody to advocate for them, a spouse or whatever, to, you know, demand that they do a complete workup.
Right.
This one lady, you know, that I'm talking about, I won't use names, but there was lesions on the brain. And then apparently she's just been told it's cancer and given him like 3 months to live.
Wow.
You know, and so this, you know, I'm trying to get details from each of these as if they saw a VA doctor, if they got a second opinion. These are critical. I mean, these are critical things. These are not just vague symptoms. And they're not being worked up thoroughly, or they're being pushed to psych. So many of them tell me they're still pushing us to psych and behavioral med instead of looking at us physically and ruling out whatever they can rule out before they say it's psych. And that's been my concern since the very get-go, because when we started, and Doug remembers this, we had nothing except that they could apply for PTSD.
Right.
And if they didn't have PTSD, we didn't have any way to get them compensation, except if they had an injury during service that they had a record of. And, you know, our country, and I'm just horrified because we know that we had the chemical exposures. Okay, no doubt, multiples, pesticides used in theater, the low-level exposure over a number of times, the vaccines that were given, the PV pills. We know all that. We know the depleted uranium. What we're not being told that makes me really angry is any viral connection and any research on that, because we know from Senator Riegel's report of several pages there of what biologicals were sent. And, you know, I'm looking at brain cancers, and I'm going, I don't know if you get that many brain cancers in MS just from chemical exposures, people. You know, we've got radiation damage that could be altering it. But what are the biologicals? And that is what our country, you know, except for Riegel getting it out, we wouldn't have known anything. And that is my fear, because we also have the spouses and the children. And, right, this is somehow different than Agent Orange. I don't think we had these maladies developing so rapidly in the Gulf, the Agent Orange veterans, and the brain cancers.
Right.
And maybe you can correct me on that, but the brain cancers, the MS, these are horrible, horrible situations.
Yeah.
You know, and the, you know, the environment over there for the first Gulf War was terrible, with the multiple exposures, but you know, I just don't think our government's doing the right thing. We have a new RAC committee since they replaced everybody. They've gone to a one-day meeting. The last one was, I was very upset. It's like they're not pushing like they did with Jim Benzone and Roberto Salza and the people we had. And those were fighters that were fighting for us, that were hearing us. It may have been frustrating, and people thought they weren't, or for whatever reason. But now we have gone down to a one-day meeting. It doesn't seem like they're pushing the VA or anybody to get the data on the death certificates, how many of these are brain cancers. You know, there's a lack of open transparency.
And accountability.
There hasn't been any. I mean, you know, we go all the way back, and I'm sitting here, all of us, I mean, from Vietnam and before Vietnam, all through USA, we ate the anti-malarial medications we had to. I mean, you know, I don't even want to think about what malaria would be like. But the diagnosis, the medical problems from this malaria, anti-malaria pills, Larium and all the other ones that sell, is vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, headaches, sleeplessness, insomnia, abnormal dreams. We get emotional instability, panic attacks, hallucinations, anxiety, confusion, aggression, depression, paranoid reactions, convulsion, vision impairment, manic behavior, aggressive mood swings, and numbness. I mean, this is all the neurological. So we're seeing, and again, I mean, you were, Denise, you were there and everything else, and some of the, God bless Mondras and some Bill and these other guys said, I mean, we're seeing a synergistic effect between all of these toxic exposures and all of these injuries and insults to the body, where 1 + 1 is coming out to be 5 or 6.
Right.
And it just,
and
I mean,
a, Doug, let me. I'm not going to correct you because I'm not going to do that. I couldn't do that anyway because you are who I am. But I will say that I had malaria and I loved it. And the reason I loved it because it got me out of the bush and put me in a hospital. That was a wonderful thing to me. Now I almost died from fever and from every. It was a terrible thing to have. And I, the Vietnamese, the North Vietnamese said they lost more men to malaria than they did in the war. They lost over 1 million men and women to malaria in those jungles and all. But what I want to say, too, about these psychotropic things, I went to the VA about Seroquel. I heard so much about it, I read so much about it, that I went to him and I told my psychiatrist I wanted to get off of it. He said, "Why do you want to get off?" And I said, "Well, it's not a good drug." I said, "They actually renamed it Seroquel because it's been responsible for killing so many veterans." And he said, "Well, I gave it to you for sleep." He said, "Are you sleeping?" I said, "Well, yeah, I sleep. I go into a coma almost." He said, "Well, what's the big deal? There's no problem." I said, "You're not gaining weight. You're not doing this. You're not doing that." He said, "There's no problem." So I said, "I don't see no problem with you taking it." And I said, "I want to get off of it." And he said, "Well, I can do it, but I don't know why you would want to because it is working." And, you know, they give you all this rationale about, "Well, it's working. Don't you feel better?" "Well, yeah. Well, what's it doing to you?" "Nothing. Don't worry about it." And we don't realize what it is doing to us. There's a lot of things that happen over time. It takes time to figure out what's going on and the repercussions of it. You know, I worked in a factory that made plastics manufacturer. Actually, I was an associate in there. And long, long time ago. And when every time this little hot wire would cut this little bit of plastic, you could see it in the lights. You see this little bit of smoke going up. And you didn't think anything about it. Then later in life, you found out it is what causes meat packers' asthma. And what it is, it's a little bit of smoke over a long period of time. And what it does is eat your lungs up. You end up with emphysema, you end up with asthma, and all these things. So some things have a long-term effect. It's like Denise was talking about. They've never had studies on this stuff. We're the ones they're doing the studies with. We're the mice. And one day they'll come out and they'll say, "Oh, we don't need to do this anymore. We've lost too many veterans. And we're going to be the ones that get whacked in this deal." And
no, the horrible part about this, when we go back to the Regal Commission report that Jim Toot did and Senator Regal on a Michigan put out years ago. I mean, totally confirmed the biological agents were sent to Iraq. We sent them there for Iraq, Saddam, to use them against the Iranian Kurds, the Iranians and the Iraqi Kurds and other ones. Absolutely did, no question about it. He definitely used them on us, and he spread it all over. But what we do know, and it's in there, is the United States Army deliberately and willfully sent the weaponized anthrax to Iraq. And as a consequence, we had to administer their anthrax vaccine, and we knew the vaccine was bad to begin with because it was for cutaneous, not respiratory. But then you look at the Vision 11 guidance here. This is physician's guidance. These are the medical problems from the anthrax vaccine: muscle and joint pain, paralysis, chronic fatigue, severe headaches, weight loss, chronic illness, memory problems, numbness in legs or hand spasms or tremors in limbs, diarrhea, and cardiac. Well, these are the same things we're getting from the pesticides. These are the same things we're getting from DU. So it's just kicking it all the way around. But we wouldn't have to have that if the U.S. Army out of Fort Detrick had not sent weaponized anthrax to Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was something wrong with this.
I got Agent Orange on my forearms and on my forehead, and that was the parts that were most exposed in Vietnam. When they would fly over, they'd say, "Don't look up." So you just look down and they'd spray you. But, you know, you had your 115, 118 degrees. Well, about a year ago, they told me they wanted to try a new thing that the VA was working with on, Agent Orange. So it's like little ulcers, little tumors on your arms. And, I mean, it's not really unsightly, but it's there, and I know it's there. And I have to be careful because it itches and it burns. Well, I went to them, and they put my arms, and you may be familiar with this, Denise, they put my arms in the cylinder, and they shot radiation. It's like a microwave. And, I mean, this thing, after about 30 seconds, I could not stand it anymore. It was burning me like they were on fire. And I said, "Cut it off. Cut it off." And they said, "Well, we'll do it." They wouldn't do it like 3 minutes. I couldn't do it. And when I took, when they took it off, I had to run cold water over my arms. They made me stand there, run water all over my arms and everything, trying to cool it back off. And it makes you wonder if the treatment is more deadly or more, is worse than the problem is, you know? They're always trying new things, but some of this stuff, I think the treatment could be bad, too. Well, I don't know what you think, Denise, but maybe you can help me understand that.
Well, there's always hazards on whatever drug they give you. And I tell people, always go to drugs.com. Look up your drugs. Learn about them. Read about them. Check for any interactions with other drugs. I mean, these are basics. And, you know, I'm from the medical field. You know, I'm trying to educate the vets of what they should be looking at. Getting results, you know, getting a copy of your results and following up yourself. And, my God, you know, I'm questioning each of these as have they had second consults, you know, with civilian doctors. A lot of vets can't even afford to do that. But, yeah, we know from experience with the anthrax vaccines, the PB pills, everything that's been given to us in the past that could be affecting this. You know, I try to tell the vets, you know, we got to quit running around on exposures because those are known. What's not known is the biologicals, and we need to keep pushing them and pushing them in that direction. These brain cancers and other cancers that we're seeing and that we're not getting any data to inform, you know, the civilian doctors to keep an eye if they are seeing Gulf War veterans. It's a failure all the way around. People not being transparent, the having to have Regal dig out what was exported from our country over there on biologicals, and it's like they don't even pay attention to that. You know, I'm so frustrated because the media never mentioned this, and it's like we have a true emergency with our Gulf War veterans from the first Gulf War. And we had media going in the mid-90s, and then we lost that media coverage to keep the pressure on them. And it can't just be in the Military Times or Stars and Stripes. We need, you know, the mainstream media to connect with us again. Because, you know, and I can't tell you, it's almost daily that we have somebody pop up and said their brother died or their husband died. And, you know, they're starting to speak out more and more from what we had before. But they're dragging their feet as they have before with Agent Orange, the atomic vet. And this is affecting lives. And that's what gets down to with me, is this is our lives, people. And the VA is not being accountable. They're not even being transparent.
No. They're not. They don't have the continuing education. I mean, I've had discussion after discussion, and Denise, you and I have gone over, we prepare programs for them. I mean, you go into the doctor, and the doctor's not interested. He hasn't taken the time to look at the documents. He doesn't want to take the documents that the vet brings in. The other problem we're having, and this just bothers me totally, is your average veteran, these young kids, don't have the medical, biological, or physiological, or physics, or chemistry to understand what's going on. And they can't explain it. They know they're sicker than blue blazes. And then sometimes when the doctor doesn't understand what's going on, or he comes up with the treatment and he'll explain it to the vet, and half these vets can't understand what these doctors are saying. I mean, it all falls apart. I mean, Denise, I mean, how many years did you do this? I mean, patient education and medical education were the critical components, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. I mean, it's like it's so broken. It's, you know, like we've seen with the VA scandals. I mean, I am at a loss now of what do we do next, Doug? What do we do? And like I said, I hope everybody's flooding the White House, flooding the vice president, flooding their representatives, their senators on what's really happening to them. You know,
Denise, one of the things that I see when I listen to you and Doug is that I realize that all of us seem like we're all out here on our own, and there's no power out here. I have no voice. I have nothing. But all it takes is somebody to organize and somebody to stand up, like you guys are doing, and saying, wait a minute. And so you organize people. And a lot of times a crowd has more of a voice than an individual does. And so you just keep doing what you're doing. You know, one of the things they do not think about, I don't think they even consider this, they complain about divorce rate with Vietnam veterans and Gulf War veterans and the guys today and why. Well, when you heavily medicate people, you lose intimacy, and therefore the family falls apart. It's like living with your brother or your sister. And so chemicals have a bad reaction on the human body. And when you lose that intimacy between a husband and a wife, you lose that oneness and you become two. And so, you know, people don't even realize that sometimes. And what these chemicals, I'm not against medicines. I think some medicines are great stuff. But I think the abuse of it, and I think the over-medication that so many doctors have come to lean on and saying, if I can just make you not feel anything, if I can make you feel better by not feeling anything, then apparently you're getting better. And we have to, like you said, we have to be proactive and say, wait a minute, I wasn't this bad before I started coming here. Why am I worse now than what I was when I first came? And we have to step back and look at things and make some conscious decisions of saying, man, I want to get better. I went around that room yesterday, two different sessions I was in, and I asked each one of those people in that room, I said, do you want to get better? Do you want to stay like you are? And every one of them said, I want to get better. Okay, we got something to work with now. And I think every veteran wants to, and I told those guys yesterday, I said, you paid for your freedom. You ought to have the best life in this country. You deserve it because you paid for your freedom. It's a shame you got to pay for it with your health and your mentality and your marriage and your children and all these things. That's not supposed to be part of the cost on this deal. And I do want to see veterans and our military personnel have a good life. And right now, it seems like it's far from that.
The revelations that keep coming down day after day, and we talk about here, and Gary's been incredible. Patricia comes up with them. But I don't see any changes happening in the bureaucracy or changes happening to improve the problem. And then they go back into the denial, and I'm so tired of the retaliation. I mean, the retaliation is a non-ending thing. I mean, I had emails that showed up here. God, I don't know where they were. All of a sudden, they showed up today, and they're from a way long time ago. I don't know. I know what the carnivore where they were at, but why they all of a sudden showed up other than we're yelling and screaming. But it's a nightmare. Denise, you were back in Conestoga in the Vietnam War, treating them down there in Texas at Wilford Hall. You were a frontline combat nurse up there in Desert Storm. What are the problems? We associate all this stuff, but what are the difference in problems with the female vets versus the male vets? I mean, you've been a leading advocate in this forever and ever, but what are we missing there?
Well, female vets, you know, and I want to recognize Kathleen Hennessy, who died in May, was fighting breast cancer. And her immune system was definitely involved, but you know, she had problems to follow up after her breast cancer, and she ended up having a high fever and not getting in fast enough, probably because she was battling the VA to make them cover the cost. And when she got in, it was too late. She had developed an infection and just went downhill rapid. So, you know, I'm seeing a lot of the breast cancers with the females. That's what I hear about overwhelmingly so, is breast cancers with the females. And, you know, if you've damaged the immune system and the body as a whole by the exposures, I think we will be seeing more and more of that as we go along. But that's one of the things I'm seeing with the females, that it's popping out more and more as we go along. Didn't see that early on, seeing it more like think it started around 2000 and thereafter that we started seeing the cancers pop. And like I said, you know, the devil is in the details, and if the VA is not, you know, letting us know what cancers are showing up and being purely transparent, it's very hard, even if you go to civilian doctors, for them to know what are the top things I need to look at here. And that's what concerns me. And we went through the period of time that we knew we had cancer victims up in Walter Reed. They were on separate floors, and we had one of the chaplains that served in Iraq after the Gulf War, you know, like OIF, coming back sick with cancer from theater. This, you know, I just, how much does it take you to know that this is not normal? This is not normal. You know, if you take the cancers, identify what type, what organs involved, and compare it with a civilian base, you know, it'd be very easy to see, but yet they don't even do that. They're not transparent of what they're sharing with the IOM committee that's looking for other presumptives. We may have a couple of meetings that are public and then they go to private closed meetings. So we have no idea what the VA is sharing with them as far as their current factors and statistics. This should not be hidden. This should be open access so that doctors can quickly get answers in order to help us out.
Well, we've run out of time. Guys, thank you very much. We got to continue this. Denise, get us the info so we can put it on the show summary. Thank you. And God bless everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to help solve the problem. We got to force the leaders to do it. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Denise. And God bless everybody, and good night.